Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us on this All Hallows Eve. Halloween. Bwah. How to say that? And we're going to be talking about Halloween with two people that know the traditions, because I've always looked at this silly holiday and said, what is this about? All these crazy things that people are doing. And they go back to some fascinating historic traditions in other mystical traditions and religions. So we're going to talk about that. It's really interesting stuff. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And since there's this basic undertone in Halloween of fear, I thought I would just talk a little bit about the effect of fear and how people really choose what they decide to be afraid of. And fear is kind of like a virus. Fear is something that people pass back and forth, and that is used to manipulate people, you know. Advertising and government and everybody else figures out ways to make people afraid, because people that are afraid basically can't make good decisions. They shut their brains down and they then say, well, what do you want me to do? And Halloween has all this undercurrent of fear. The one that I find either the most amusing or the least amusing is all the stuff about zombies lately, which all by itself is just kind of a bizarre idea that, you know, the dead will rise from the grave. Except it's gone further than that. You know, now it's living people will turn into zombies because of some virus or other weird thing. And all of that makes for good movies, and people like to be scared, so scary movies make money. But then there are the people that actually are taking that stuff seriously and planning for the zombie apocalypse and training their children about how to use firearms for particular situations, because they somehow think they know exactly what's going to go on with zombies and zombie apocalypse. And, you know, that to me is one of the more obvious fear viruses and stories that just took on a life of its own. It was just people that wanted to be afraid of something and latched onto this. So as we talk tonight about Halloween and where it comes from, you'll find that all the scary stuff really isn't so scary. It's more that there were reasons and understandings that people had long before this present era and our idea of Halloween. And like so many things over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, those understandings and traditions have been distorted in some fun ways. We get to do all this silly stuff on Halloween, but also in some bizarre ways that have to do with the fears that are there. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now I get to have some fun with two of my favorite people to have on the show. They're both regulars. Tiana Merope and Claudia McNeely, are you with us, ladies?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here too.
So the one with the southern accent is Claudia, who's in Texas, and the one that doesn't have a southern accent and is more New York accent is Tiana, who lives close to me in Massachusetts. And what I'd like is to start is for each of you to give a little piece of introduction about your background and how you came to know about these traditions, you know, how you plugged into the stuff that's behind Halloween. So, Tiana, do you want to start?
Okay. Oh, sure. All righty then. I founded Sophia, and the tradition is an integration of tribal Judaism and earth-based spirituality and integration of many people's ancestral lineages as well. So through that, the Gaelic folk festivals, the turnings of the wheel, the earth-based spirituality all over the world and how they've all blends together kind of evolved into a god, goddess, goddess tradition in Sophia. And, discovering also growing up with Halloween and wondering what this holiday was about, yeah? And as we research it and finding out that this was really an ancient Celtic holiday, and it's really the witch's new year, and it is the end of summer and our third harvest, and it's the time when the veil is thin, so we honor the ancestors, and that's what this is really about, is the honoring of the ancestors, the respect and hallowing of our sacred dead, and those who died in this past year, and those, you know, throughout our history and herstory. And so it's actually quite not necessarily a solemn holiday, but definitely one of offerings and divination and connection with the ancestors and with spirits, because they're around and they're very easy to access. So it's also a time of protection of self, because you right. don't necessarily want to have too many spirits about, as you know. So it turns out that, you know, in the Hebrew tradition, at Sukkot, at that harvest festival, is also the calling in of the ancestors. And so they also look upon this time when the veil is thin. And that tradition came out of the Middle East. So it seems like a lot of people who lived with the earth and with nature perceived the fact that this was the time for connecting between the worlds, and that the veil was so thin that you can really work in a very positive and healing way at this time for our own souls as well as theirs. So that's how I came to know it.
And your background is so broad. You bring so many traditions together. That's really the word that comes to mind is juicy. You've got all these different things mixed together. So I want to get back in particular to the thinning of the veil. But Claudia, what is your background in learning about all of these traditions as well?
When I started getting interested in the metaphysical, I just started studying all religions. I studied everything. And that's when I learned that Halloween was more than just decorating the yard and going out trick-or-treating, you know, and being able, and I guess working with spirits also, you know, being a Ghostbuster, probably because I communicate with spirit all the time, it kind of made it mean more. Once I found out what it was actually all about.
And both of these wonderful ladies do healing work and psychic work and are very connected to the spirit world and know what they're talking about with all this stuff. This is not just stories that have been read. This is also personal experience. So the expression that Tiana brought up, which if you hadn't brought it up, I would have, is the idea. Well, there are two underlying themes that then take off with the different traditions. One is the thinning of the veil, that this moment in time every year is when the spirit world and the physical world are most in touch with each other. So a lot of the traditions are based on the idea that ghosts, people who don't normally see ghosts, would come in contact with them at this time. And there's a time of day, which is midnight to 2 a.m., and there's a time of the month, which is the full moon. And then there's the time of the year, which is this particular moment, All Hallows Eve or Samhain, when the veil is the thinnest and the interaction with ghosts is the most likely. So some of the tradition comes out of that. And the other piece to it is the honoring of the dead, because all of the holidays that are connected to this have to do in one way or another with acknowledging either particular dead people in the All Hallows Eve tradition, where it was the saints in the Christian tradition, or in the older traditions that predated Christianity, it was honoring all of the ancestors, and particularly the ones that had died in the past year. So, you know, in Tiana, do you know particular bits and pieces about that? Both of those pieces?
Well, the holiday of Samhain, of honoring the ancestors, was, you know, with the people, the pagans, people of the earth, that's what pagan means. They were honoring and doing this mostly in Ireland, but also it moved over to England and Germany, and, you know, throughout Europe, you know, in various places, people were honoring their sacred, their holy dead, their blessed ones at this time of year. And the church kind of, I think, somewhere between the 6th and 8th century, I don't remember, it was a bad time, decided, oh, you know, this is when the people are honoring the dead. We'll call it All Saints Day, you know, because they kind of like to take all the pagan holidays like winter solstice and make it Christmas, just throw it off by a day or two, you know, but just, and keep the customs that the people were doing, you know, take Beltane and turn that a little bit into Easter, keep those customs, you know, so they allowed the people to keep their customs and they just made a little shift. And so it became All Saints Day, and about Hallowing, the saints became All Hallows. And the Eve before that, on October 31st, became All Hallows Eve, which eventually became Halloween. And the people would go and leave offerings in the past, you know, in ancient times, leave offerings for the spirits and for the ancestors. And so then over the years, it became like people going around to receive, you know, to dress up, to pretend to receive, you know, and receive those gifts from house to house. And that eventually became trick-or-treating. You know, they would pretend to be the ancestors or the ghosts, and people would give them an offering. So that eventually evolved, but now it's all about goblins and ghouls and scary things.
Yeah, it really went much more macabre, I think, than it started.
Way more macabre than it started, and especially in the States. I mean, we really have a kind of crazy, but the kids are having a blast with it, and gives people such an opportunity to dress up, and they love to dress up, especially men love to cross-dress. This is their time of year, and it's just...
And you're still encouraging me to play dress-up, and it's so not what I do.
It's a wonderful thing,
Tiana,
that happens.
Tiana does wonderful events up on... Goddess Mountain at the Temple of Sophia, and I'm always invited, but it always says dress this way, and I'm like, oh God, no.
Oh, God.
I'm just not there.
I did read somewhere today that
part of the dressing up part of it was to the idea was that since you were going to run into ghosts and you couldn't tell who was a ghost and who was the living, that it was a good idea to confuse everybody. So people would dress up in effect in disguising themselves as ghosts in the hope that they wouldn't get into trouble with a mean spirit, because the spirit would think that they were a ghost too. And then that led to going and getting the offerings that were being left out also to keep the spirits from doing something nasty.
I'm guessing that Carnival is a lot about that, you know, in Brazil and on the islands, you know, that's what they're dressing up became about. And they do an amazing Day of the Dead in Mexico where all the people come out with candles and spend the night in the cemeteries and make offerings and bake special cakes for the ancestors, and to have this, you know, mix of All Souls and All Saints Day, and quite beautiful.
And there are traditions.
That would be what I would enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I love cemeteries and that type of thing, and honoring the dead.
Yeah.
And,
you know, sometimes going into underground caves, you know, and doing ritual underground is also quite the time of year to do that.
And there are variations, not necessarily at this time of year, all over the place. In Haiti, there are all kinds of traditions about going to the cemeteries and doing ceremonies about and for the dead. And I'm sure that whole part of the world has stuff like that. So, but it's all grounded in this idea of the living being able to interact with ghosts, with the non-living, and that it happens more at this particular night. But that also comes out of a world in which interactions with what I usually call non-physical beings, so this whole range of personalities that aren't physical, and it's not just ghosts. It would be in Ireland, the leprechauns and fairies and the other little people from, you know, there's a tradition in every part of the world of some kind of little people that are either non-physical or not always physical, or they were physical sometime in the past, but they aren't anymore.
Some aren't so wee. Some are very big, too.
Right. Right. And I think the world view and the personal experience of people in those older times included having experiences of that. You know, we talk about, do you believe in ghosts? Mm-hmm. And belief is always hearsay. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that you trust had some experience that makes them believe in makes them know that ghosts are real, and they told you, but you don't have an experience.
Right. And, you know, I think back in those days, too, people weren't afraid of ghosts like we are today.
Right.
Everybody's afraid of that. And you watch these ghost shows on TV, and they treat those ghosts so disrespectfully on right. these shows. And that's, you know, that really upsets me. That's not the way we're supposed to treat them.
Right. These are our relatives. They're our ancestors.
Right.
And they're lost and confused. And I, you know, personally, it's my usual semi-joke is I would help a little old lady to cross the street. I'm certainly going to help that little old lady, lady to cross over.
Right.
And
bless your heart.
What's that?
Bless your heart.
If they're ready to cross over, some of them don't want to. The house that we lived in, you know, a couple of years ago that was haunted, the old lady, now I did remove a lot of entities there, but the old lady that originally owned the house, mm-hmm. she wanted to stay there. That's where she wanted to be.
We can, well, why not? I have a...
She wasn't hurting anything.
Right.
You know?
But my point of view is slightly different in that what it seems to me is going on is that they don't understand what crossing over means, and they don't understand the experience they'll have when they go through life review and shift from being kind of an interloper in the physical world, because they don't have a physical body anymore, lost in space-time, to where they intended to go at the end of their life. Their life isn't over. They're stuck here. So...
See, I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay.
My daughter passed over. You know, I mean, you know, she's gone.
Yep.
But she comes back and visits. She comes back and she plays tricks on us, and she knocks things down, and she, you know, so she goes to both. And I think that that's the way this old lady was. I think she could go either way, but she wanted to stay there.
Well, if the person has gone through the process of crossing over, they can still mm-hmm. come back and have influence. And
right.
that's part of why they don't leave. They don't realize that.
Right.
But that's different from somebody that's really a ghost who has stayed here and hasn't completed their life. If you go to the other side and you still want to hang out with family some of the time and either give them a hard time or help them, it's certainly doable from everything I've seen.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I think the statistic and everything that I've read is 80-90% of ghosts don't know they're dead.
Well, that's true.
And the ones that do know they're dead and have stayed, you know, in air quotes, by choice, the choice really is based on their codependent stuff about, you know, what didn't work in their life. And, you know, my family won't be able to, you know, the business will fail, whatever, you know, whatever it is they mm-hmm. believe that can't be done without them.
Right.
So it's the same kind of confusion doing a counseling conversation with a family that's living as it is with the people who have died. But, you know, the way that I work is just to help people cross over. So whatever I need to do to control them or convince them to go with the angels to go and cross over is what I'll do. I don't do the counseling sessions that people that are mediums do. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Occasionally I will,
right.
but mostly not. Partly because I'm often doing, you know, bus tours. It's hundreds or thousands.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Does everybody have their tickets? Stay together. The first time I had to do a really large group, I made it really complicated and hard. I was trying to think it through. And when I was all done, the message that I got was, okay, you made that really hard. Do you really have to do all of that?
A little light.
Yeah. You know, just
third star to the left, you know?
Exactly.
That's
right. And my prayer is that when you get to the other side, it does not look like Beetlejuice. That, you know, somehow both the customer service and the technology has improved.
Unless you want it to look like Beetlejuice, and then it can look like that.
That's right. That's right. People will get what they expect.
Exactly.
So, and for those who are listening going, oh, this is an interesting conversation, this is exactly why I have these wonderful ladies on the show, because we can go to those places, and not from conjecture, but from experience. So it's always a lot of fun. The second part of this, besides, and what's the undercurrent in the whole thing about the veil being thin, is that ghosts are scary, because we now live in a world in which experiencing ghosts is not a commonplace thing. It's something that in many religious contexts is considered bad and wrong. And so people don't want to have the experience, and they're afraid of the experience. And I think in other times, especially in the earth-based religions, it was just a commonplace thing.
Well, we've been taught to fear death, period.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it used to be that, your dead was kept right there in your home until you got ready to bury him. And none of that is done anymore. We're taught to be afraid of death. And so therefore, if we're afraid of death, we're going to be terrified of the afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, the experience of death is extremely confusing, because people have such, either have a lack of knowledge or very strange ideas about what will happen when you die.
Right.
When it isn't that way, they're pretty confused.
Right.
So, whether they have a very bleak outlook or they have a very positive outlook, you know, and if you're expecting streets paved in gold and, you know, angels with wings and trumpets are going to be there to greet you, in all likelihood, that's not going to be your first experience.
Right.
It's going to be confusing.
Exactly.
No,
yep.
Mine will have drums.
No
mine
doubt.
Too.
Pretty
no
sure
doubt. Drums and rattles,
yeah.
And feathers, and
undoubtedly
rattles, a fire.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So the other aspect of this, and it's related, obviously, is the honoring of the dead, either, as I read earlier today, that some of the Irish tradition was honoring the people who had died in the past year, because they were going to be able to cross over at this point where the veil was thin. But the idea of All Hallows was honoring the most saintly, you know, the chosen, the people that the church had decided were saintly, as a way of saying, you can be like these people, and we should honor them, and we should honor the way they live. But Tiana, do you know some of the tradition about how that honoring played out in both the Irish and British Isles, but other traditions? Because you know about the Middle Eastern stuff, too.
Well, a lot of the, what we call it, having a dumb supper, where people would bring the person who departed their favorite dish. And create a feast, and they would set a plate for everyone, and a plate at the head of the table for the departed one, for their dead, and people would come and be in silence, and so it was called a dumb supper. And somehow, I guess the word dumb supper means silence. They would be in silence for the whole evening and make offering, you know, bring an offering for the ancestors. Each person would add to that dish. So we incorporate part of that in our practice of or, you know, what they imagine their ancestors as a traditional identity. Or a historical person. It's sometimes...
Just want to acknowledge we have some background noise. And Tiana, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, we may have lost part of the connection. We're getting a bleed over of some kind of signal. And you know, one of the things about doing this show and some of the other shows on Empower Radio, where we're talking about the non-physical world. We're talking about ghosts and other non-physical entities, and we're focusing on the non-physical, is that we get demonstrations of how the technology is affected the non-physical beings. So in this case, from the little message I just got from the studio, Tiana's cell phone started picking up something else. Now, how often does that happen? In normal things, not very frequently. But around here on these shows, it happens fairly often. I've learned just to be very sure that I have both computers in my house running. Both of them have Skype running, and my cell phone is sitting here, which also has Skype on it, because I once had a show where both computers crashed, and the only way I could get back onto the show was to do it from my cell phone on Skype.
Well, it is Mercury retrograde, my holy brother, and it's a wonder we're talking at all.
I tried to record a radio show the first day of Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
After the first 2 minutes, I said, let's do this another day, because both of us were having nothing but trouble. So we recorded it a few days later and everything went fine. But right. Yeah, this has been a really fun Mercury retrograde.
It's been fun, yes. It's really a real trickster, this one, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and Claudia, you know more about it than I do, but the sunspot activity coordinated with the Mercury retrograde, and that's also
randomly. Can I share something with you all?
Is
that with these sunbursts, these solar flares, what we've discovered, one of my priestesses and I have kind of been working with flower essences and, you know, medicines, and St. John's wort, which is also known as Hypericum, acts mm-hmm. as a shield from the from the solar flares.
Ooh, will the homeopathic
really? I'm gonna have to try that if it'll work.
Will homeopathic Hypericum work?
You can either take it as a homeopathic, as a Hypericum, a 30C. You can spray it, take it as a flower essence and spray it on your head. You can take it as a tincture of St. John's wort, as a liquid. It works in all those forms, and it works instantly to protect you from the solar flares.
We're going to have to go to the break in just a second. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, I'll make sure that both of you get to give your web addresses so that people can find you. But we're going to need to go to the break here on the Farkas Files with Claudia McNeely and Tiana Merope talking about All Hallows Eve on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. We'll be right back.
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out, but between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep, Rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find which classes he really needed.
You missed the lesson on telling dragons from dragonflies.
Right. I want to go to college, so I'm taking Algebra 2, Biology, and a foreign language.
Foreign language? You mean so you can talk to unicorns?
Well, not exactly. Unless they're French.
But Larry had no time for unicorns, or even for Miss Petunia Tutti's time-traveling tutorial, which met every other yesterday at 25 o'clock.
Sorry I'm late. My snarkball game went into overtime.
And he knew knowhowtogo.org was way better than hoping for a snarkball scholarship. So, while his friends all aced invisibility, when Larry finally got to college, they were nowhere to be seen.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart. Is my adorable grandson in school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Oh, I'm painting your room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
I painted over them.
Ma!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, we're upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo, a teenage girl.
What about me and your grandson?
I think it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo.
You know how great it'll be for little Ryan to experience another culture? He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Ryan could learn to speak Arabic.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Claudia McNeely and Tiana Merope talking about Halloween and what does it really mean. And I want to make sure that each of you gets to give your web address so that people can find you, because you each do incredible work. Claudia, what's your website?
My website is askclaudia.com.
That's an easy one. And Tiana?
I think it's Tiana at TianaMerope.com.
TianaMerope.com. Why don't you spell it?
If you punch into Google Tiana Merope, it comes up onto a lot of sites, and one of them will tell you how to get in touch with me, I'm sure.
Just spell spell Merope for people.
MIRAP as in Peter, AE. MIRAPAE. Merope.
Tiana.
Tiana's TIANA.
Yep. And I suggest that you check out each of them and their work, because they do different kinds of work, and it's amazing, which is one of the wonderful things about the show. I get to hang out with you. So we were, I think, where we were before the technology got whacked. We were talking about the traditions in which the dead are honored at this time of year. And Tiana, you started talking about a Middle Eastern tradition.
Well, I was actually talking about a Celtic tradition.
Shows where I
am. Tradition of that, yeah. That, you know, the kind of a witch's, part of the witch's new year. And kind of dressed in black and have your witch's hat on and have your... the ancestor altar, and, you know, it's all done very solemnly and comes down through the Celtic ages.
And witches are another one of those elements of all of this which has been distorted and totally misunderstood over the centuries of things. Why don't you give a perspective, actually each of you, perspective on what a witch really is? What is that tradition? What did witches do? What do witches do now?
To me, a witch is just simply a wise woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, I mean, we were the ones who healed the people, that, you know, we worked with the herbs. We did hands-on healing. We delivered babies.
Right.
All that type of thing. And that was turned into something evil through time because people were scared of us. Well, it was probably when the male medical profession came in and they wanted to get rid of us women who were taking over their jobs and doing a better job of it.
Well, there was that, but I think that was later than this was another element of how the Christian church was taking traditions that came before Christianity. And they did two things. One was they incorporated them by putting their holidays overlapping with the existing holidays and traditions. And the other one was to say all of this stuff doesn't fit what we do, and therefore it's heretical. And then the next step is that it's evil.
Part of the evilness of it comes out of the Old Testament saying that sorcerers and witches aren't to be abided and, you know, couldn't be allowed, and you're not allowed to work with those kind of elements or do divination. And then, you know, it goes on to say how one king calls in the Witch of Endor and asks her to invoke the king that died before so he could speak to him. And so what's come down through the tradition is a woman who, or anyone who was doing divination or working with those who crossed over, was a witch or a wizard, and if you were a priest or a rabbi, then you were an enlightened being who did that. So it was only allowed by the rabbis and only allowed by the priests, and everybody else was evil.
It was control issues, and to be crass about it, it was a branding issue.
And as you were saying, Claude, it's really the fear of I don't know what. It always blows my mind. We're just about peace and healing, and not only the healers, but also we honored the seasons and the planting and the harvest and all of nature. So part of what we call witch is a wise woman, also wise men, who lived in partnership with nature and the divine. And there was no Satan or devil in the pantheon of the craft.
Right.
That's something that came out of the Christian tradition.
I listen to your description, that's the description of shaman in other traditions. The wise person that had skills and knowledge that they developed over time that was doing things to protect and heal and make life better for the people of their tribe, their village, you know, whatever the group was that they were responsible for.
So they call in the rain, do weather working, take away the bad spirit.
What most people don't realize if you're not touching on this in your life is that every indigenous culture all over the world has a tradition like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is a healer shaman tradition. The people that are still living close to the land still are doing the old ways. And, you know, so for example, Tibet and Tibetan Buddhism is a shamanic tradition, and people are living close to nature, but also close to the spirit world, using a way of life and a point of view and a spirituality, which is both about nature and about connecting to the spirit world and being responsible to both. So, but, you know, that's not the conversation. That's not what most people learn about those cultures all over the world. So
pretty international and very similar. They say that, you know,
amazingly
the comes down through Siberia and went over the Bering Straits and down the other direction through India and China. So it's like this whole world was, you know, at one point really connected.
I've always been amazed that so many of the personal spiritual practices in Catholicism, but certainly in the early church, are taken almost exactly from Hindu personal spiritual practices. Saying a prayer over and over again, counting the number of prayers that you said, using beads, lighting candles, having a picture or a statue of some aspect of the personality of God that you can focus on and that you can sit in adoration. All of those things exist in other places, but the one I'm most familiar with is Hindu culture. And were brought and put into a different context in Christianity, and they work quite well in bringing people in touch with spirit. But then the person goes to the priest to have it explained, because that's the way that tradition works.
Right.
So,
and then you have the voodoo, voodoo people who have taken the Catholic candles that they've been told are okay, but their candles aren't, but the Catholic candles are.
Mm-hmm.
So they have turned those Catholic candles into candles for their honoring of their tradition too.
Right. Right.
So they've able to meld, the parts. The Christianity has not been able to totally take away their method of worship. They've been able to change it, but not totally take it away.
Right. We keep the traditions. We just don't know where they come from after a while.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate, because without that history, without that understanding, a lot of things just don't make sense, and especially to anybody looking in from the outside.
Right.
It's strange stuff, and anything that's strange is frightening. So,
right,
it adds to the, oh my God, they're doing something I don't understand, so it must be a bad thing. And the more that I learn about traditions all over the world, the more I see the similarities, and the more I realize that the underlying understanding and the underlying way of being in the world is exactly the same. And that in the Christian tradition, if you take a look at what Yeshua, Jesus, actually said and did, he was right on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're as a whole, I think we're moving back to that oneness and that connection to the earth. And that's what's going to save humanity and the earth, is moving back to those practices.
Yeah, yeah. There is definitely a shift, and well, it's a longer conversation than we have time for. But there certainly has been the condensation of tremendous fear and control in certain religions, and that has led to all kinds of things. And I always have to remind myself that the beginnings of the Catholic Church as a powerful force in the world was that the Roman Empire made it their state religion. And so wherever the Roman Empire went, the Christian religion went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intense.
Well, and the people who lived in the country were people that was called living in the heath. So they were the heathens because they lived in the country. That was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the pagans were the people who lived in the people of the earth. So either you're Roman or you were pagano.
Or a heathen.
Or a heathen. Right. So it's either country
because
folk or
someone who lived in the heath, someone who lived in the countryside.
Exactly. Such a bad word, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Those people, they are so good and kind.
The heathens. The country folk.
It's a crazy history. History is,
Right. Well, and, I don't know that it's different in most of the issues in the world today. The question is, are you like the people who are in control or not? If you're not, how are they going to try and make you toe the line? And if you don't want to toe the line, how are you going to survive with who you are and how you do what you do in a world that's got all that going on? And we are seeing a shift from everybody's got to do it the same way to something much more collective and loving and taking care of each other. And we're watching it play out in U.S. politics before our very eyes.
The thing that amazes me is the rest of the world seems to be a little more there than the United States is. We don't realize how far behind we're getting.
Yeah. And talk to people from other countries, and they basically say, "What in the world is going on over there? Why is
exactly.
that? What are your leaders doing? Why are they doing it? Has everyone gone crazy?" To which my answer is, "Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's playing out. So hopefully we'll we'll get where we're going.
And it's also still a place where we are able to still, at least till this moment, talk about these kind of things and not be afraid of being arrested and thrown into jail for what we're talking about.
Well, and or worse.
Or worse. So I'm grateful for that freedom and the vision of that continuing and, you know, being for everyone, for everyone to be able to practice whatever spirituality they are drawn to do that is for the greatest good, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's a time of shifting that way, you know, realizing we are the killed and the killer. There's no separation. We're seeing that more and more. How important it is.
And we forget how close it is. I mean, my family story, my family is Sephardic Jews from the Carpathian Mountains, Hungary and Czechoslovakia. And the reason that they lived there is that they fled the Spanish Inquisition to survive. And they got as far as that mountain range, and they stopped, and they were there for hundreds of years, and then they emigrated to the United States. So it's a very personal family history, who we are, where we are, how we wound up in the circumstances that I'm in. And that my parents were in goes back to the actions of the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church 500 years ago.
Right.
And I feel very fortunate that I'm not in a place and time where it's life threatening to be different most of the time.
Right. And most of the time.
There are certainly still places in this country where certain kinds of being different are life-threatening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I think, you know, when we thought of the United States as a place of democracy and justice, it was a concept that we're working towards. It wasn't, you know, designed. Yeah. It was by, you know, exceptionally rich white men who wrote the Constitution, who were landowners.
Right.
And, you know, it had nothing to do with women or black people or slaves. And, you know, it was awful. So we're working it out. You know, it's taken a few hundred years, but, you know, we're getting there, you know, little by little.
Yeah.
Figuring it out, I'm hoping. More freedom, more peace for everybody. And it's part of your visioning and mine and holding it in the light when we connect on the matrix. You shine and I shine and everybody around us shines, and that helps to make the shift.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've been in fear and in hiding forever, you know. It's really nice to
and,
come out,
you know,
and shine so bright they can't get a good shot at you, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there is
shine brighter.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some of the folks that listen to this show will have a sense of the large number of people and the wide range of ways in which people are bringing the light into the planet, into this country, into all kinds of situations, and how that changes the nature of the conversation and the outcomes for everything that's going on the planet. And for other people,
and I
that
think
just,
we have to let go of our judgment of how that light is supposed to be brought in, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there are still a lot of people that think that when I say that kind of thing, it's just crazy stuff.
Right.
You know, they're not in a place where any of it makes sense to them. And, you know, we just live in very, very different frames of reference. And hopefully we can do that without hurting each other, which is, you know, the underlying thing here is, you know, there are different traditions, there are different histories, there's the way that all this came together, and we're all just people. We're all going to live and die here. We're in this, whatever this game is, we're in it together, and let's be good to each other.
Right.
Kind of walking that talk really helps.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I like what Ram Dass said. We're all just walking each other home.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, we may not realize it, but we all just came here to do this and help each other get home.
Yeah, and we have to let go of the judgment. You know, there's a lot of judgment out there right now, especially in the metaphysical community. And we have to let go of that judgment and just focus on love and oneness. And that's what's going to move us ahead.
Right. And, you know, it's a stage that everyone goes through in learning about how to do what you do. Everyone starts out as a wannabe, and kind of moves to a dilettante. And if they stay with it and have good teachers and go through the difficult lessons and their walkabout, eventually that falls away.
Right.
You see the path, you see your work, and the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. And you know everybody's going through their own version of what you had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants to be right, and everybody thinks they're right. And
right.
It gets complicated. So once again, where the hour went in a heartbeat here, which is one of the things I love about doing this and hanging out with you guys and all the other wonderful people that are on the show. Tiana, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom here.
My pleasure. I have a broom I have to go fly, so I have to go now. It's tonight,
and no doubt.
You see me going over Amherst. You just wave, okay?
So, and I know tomorrow night you're going to have a gathering, and it's dress up, of course.
You can come as you are and be your own ancestor, and that'll be just fine. That would be awesome.
Yes. We'll talk.
Chances are your ancestor dressed just like that, you know? He probably still has his coat and jacket.
So that's Tiana Merope, and her website is tianamerope.com. And Claudia, as always, thank you, my friend, for being on the show. And
thank you for having me, David.
It's always a lot of fun because you just bring so many fascinating bits of wisdom to the show every time.
Thank you.
And each of us has our perspective and the pieces of information that we've come across, and that's what's wonderful about doing these things is getting to have these conversations and let other people go, what? Really?
Yeah.
What are they talking about? I got to find out more. At least I hope that the response is going to be, I have to find out more. So, ladies, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
That was
blessings. Thank you, David.
Happy
and
New
blessed
Year.
All Hallows Eve.
Blessings.
And so if in listening to all this, you're at all curious about what in the world this guy David does, you can go to househealing.com and cleverly hiding on the contact page is every technology I could think of for you to contact me, including my schedule. I do a 20-minute complimentary assessment of what's going on and how my work might be helpful. And please plug into that if you have anything I work on, people, places, situations, businesses, properties that won't sell, all kinds of stuff. And thank you one and all for being with us once again. This is a great pleasure in my week sharing this with you. And most of the people that listen to this show don't listen to it live. They listen to it at their convenience. And you can do that at thefarkasfiles.com, cleverly enough. Or you can search for Farkas Files on iTunes podcasts. And you can listen to it anytime. And there's dozens and dozens of past shows that are in that archive. And so thank you until next week when I hope you'll be with us again. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a great week.